Good morning. This is Martijn Hübner. With me is our CFO, André Hagen. May I thank you for your participation in the presentation of our annual results. We will take around 25 minutes for our presentation, so as usual, so there's sufficient and ample time for asking your questions. If you'd be so kind to go to page 2 of our presentation, then I will start. If you look at our results over 2023, we continue to focus on implementing our strategy in a very dynamic and uncertain market environment, and that will be continued. You will see a growth in our mortgages despite a very difficult market, SME loans and assets under management, with a decrease in retail savings as a result of our very explicit price policies. You will see a sharp increase in our net profit, mainly driven by a higher income as a result of the interest environment. And you also will see an increase of 25% in our fees. And our capital position remains robust. If you'd be so kind to transfer to slide 4, our mission didn't change. The reason why we all work for this bank is we are banking with a bank with a human touch based on their values. And we want to make impact on the customer side as well as the societal impact. If you allow me to go slide 5, let me give some texture and context where we are. If you look at our customer relationship, you will see that our active multi-customers continue to increase, which is crucial for this bank because you cannot build a franchise on mono customers. So you see at one hand is that our active multi-customers are growing, as well, by the way, as the fee per customer, which is, again, crucial to build a stable bank. Our customer relationship score remains stable. But if you look at our multi-customers, it's extremely high and far above the market. We are very proud that for the second year in a row, we're recognized by our customers as the number 1, 2, 3 brands in the Netherlands. On the social impact, we improved further on our climate neutral balance sheet based on the PCAF methodology, used by 461 global, national and global companies in the world. And we recently were included in this by Sustainalytics, my apologies, as one of the top-rated ECG companies, another proof point of our societal impact. Let me share some highlights for brands, and I'm now on slide 6. If you look at ASN Bank and the Volksbank, we scored a 9 on a rating of 10 on the sustainability index, and we implemented 3 additional insurance products by our partner ASR, an insurance company, and they were rated green choice by the Dutch Consumer Association. If you look at SNS, a few things there. We launched and focused with our branches, specifically on further growth. Our branches, mostly our franchise, by the way, are crucial in being a touch point for our customer, customers. And SNS is continue to focus on young adults, where we see that young adults struggle with financial challenges. Regiobank continues to be the leader locally and digital in small villages, and were the inventor of the National Village Summit, and continues to make strides on focusing on the SME business as well. If you look at our mortgage brand, BLG Wonen, we launched the last quarter of last year the Bespaar Hypotheek. My apologies, have no way how to translate that in English, and which got an immediate traction in the mortgage market. So there are some of the highlights in terms of the growth priorities of our brands. Let me share with you where we are with our long-term objectives. I'm now on slide 7. Customer relationship score remained stable. active military customers, as I shared before, is growing. Climate neutral balance sheet, I mentioned, we made strides. And we're still thankful that the attention score given by employees remains high, despite uncertainties our employees notice in the external environment, but also with the bank, because we went through a lot of changes. But in terms of return on equity, CET capital leverage ratio, Andre will touch base on that one. Obviously, our cost income ratio improved because the income increased massively, but our cost also increased. So looking forward, cost control will be an important topic. Let me focus a little bit on our product portfolio, and I'm now on slide 8. You see that we, despite a tough market, because if the interest goes up, the mortgage market is shrinking and is highly competitive, that we continue to show a growth in the mortgage portfolio and the same in the SME portfolio. Less than our ambition, but in difficult economic circumstances and with a high interest, obviously, there's less appetite. So we are still pleased with the progress we see here. Continuous progress is 2021. If you go to slide 9, you already seen that since 2020, we are growing our market share in mortgages. Before that, we were declining, I want to note. And we also make very deliberate trade-offs between margin and volume. So given that, in a shrinking market, growing, we're pleased with that result, but we will remain vigilant in ensuring we make the right trade-offs. Our market share in savings went down for multiple reasons, because people, mono savers, transferred money, but also because we introduced basic banking, which has had a result that mono saving customers left us. I shared with you that 6 months ago. And we have a very balanced pricing policy to ensure we balance between the need of our customers, but also to ensure you remain a financial solid bank now and in the future. That brings me to slide 10. I share that. For me, this is a key slide, because you cannot build a franchise again based on mono customers and only interest. And here you see again that the number of active multi-customers is growing, as well as our net fee and commission income, also powered by the basic banking services we introduced last year, 2022. If you allow me to go to slide 11, I want to update you our role as a gatekeeper. As you also know, we got an instruction of the Dutch National Bank to improve our systematic integrity risk analysis by April 1st. We are on track to deliver that that analysis. However, that's only a first step. You need to continue to improve your CRA, your analysis moving forward. It's only one subject to fulfill your role as gatekeeper. Hence, we made already investments in 2022 when we had the headwind to invest in regulation, in data, in technology. And we will continue to do that. I got a question from the journalist. They asked me, when the CRA is done, will you start laying off people? And the answer is no. It's only one step to move on. I want to make that point here as well, so there's no misunderstanding on that one. And we are making traction on acquiring a chief financial crime officer to give attention to is a very important subject. It's a responsibility for the entire board, but one person in the board will chair this, lead this important subject. I also want to spend some time about our options for the future. That is a new subject. That's on slide 12, because there's a lot of written in the Dutch press about it. Let me tell you factual where we are. On May 26th, the minister notified the House of Representatives that she would inform the House in two steps. The first step occurred October 26th, where the minister basically concluded that a permanent state-owned bank is not a solution for public challenges in the financial system. The next step, we think, will be shared with the House during the course of 2024, where the minister will likely provide analysis which future options in our government models should not be realistic. In Dutch, it's called richtinggevend besluit. Irrespective of decision making of our shareholder, we are focusing on implementing our strategy. Now it's time to do a deep dive on our financials, and Andre, maybe you can take the lead in sharing and giving the details around our financials.
Thank you very much, Martijn. Good morning, everyone, and also a warm welcome from my side. Let me continue with our financial results for the year 2023. Starting in our presentation on page 14, this page provides an overview of our profit and loss account. Overlooking 2023, it was again a very challenging year, marked by economic uncertainties, geopolitical developments, and a changing interest rate environment. Despite that, the bank has achieved a favorable net result of 431 million, which is around 240 million above previous year's level. If you look at the underlying components, this favorable net result was mainly realized because of a strong improvement of our total income, which went up by 47% to over 1.4 billion and was partially offset by increased operating expenses, which went up by 23% to over 808 million. In addition, we record impairment charges of 50 million, which declined year over year by roughly 71%. This overfavorable net result had also a positive impact on the bank's profitability, which is shown in the return on equity chart in the middle. And this chart shows the 3 years and time series. There's a positive underlying trend, and especially in 2023, we picked up with our return on equity to 11.4%, which is mainly because of the strong increase of income. I suggest that we are now diving a bit deeper into our financial results by looking at the underlying drivers on the following pages. I'm now turning to page 15, which provides an overview of our total income with main contributing items. And I'm at first looking at the table on the left side. For the year 2023, the bank records a total income of 1.4 billion, which is around 449 million above previous year's level. If you look at the underlying components, then that was primarily related to a strong increase of our net interest income, which went up by 452 million to 1.3 billion. If you look there at the underlying root cause, it was mainly related to the more favorable interest rate environment, which was established by the European Central Bank. Just looking back to the year 2022, I think it was at the beginning of the second half of 2022 when the ECB decided to increase interest rates to combat the persistent inflation at this time, and then it continued until the end of the first half of 2023. And in this window of 12 months, we have seen an increase of interest rates by more than 400 basis points. That is an unprecedented case over the last 10, 20, even longer years. And that has a positive impact on our interest-sensitive business model and allowed us to realize this record high in net interest income result. In addition to that, our total income was furthermore positively impacted by an improvement of our net fee and commission income, which went up by 13 million to over 64 million at the end of 2023, mainly because of additional payment fees and account packages fees that we collected last year. Furthermore, our total income was negatively impacted by investment income, which declined by 46 million year over year and resulted in a loss of 54 million. That is mainly in this line where we record our ALM asset liability management activities, and we made last year the decision to replace very low yielding fixed income coupon bonds with higher yielding bonds there. That resulted in this one-off loss there, but will allow us going forward to collect, based on the higher yielding coupons, additional interest income, which will further stabilize our total income. Besides that, our total income was further positively impacted by our other results on financial instruments, which increased by roughly 31 million to over 101 million. That is mainly related to our treasury activities that took place last year. The picture in the middle, so this bar chart, shows the development of our net interest margin. And the time series there shows also a positive trend line, and especially from 2020, where we recorded a net margin of 115 basis points, it went up to 180 basis points at the end of 2023. The main reason for this increase year over year is related to our liability margin, which is broken down in positive contribution of our savings and deposit margin and also current account margins, while actually our margin on the asset side for mortgages is virtually stable year over year. Moving on to page 16. Page 16 provides an overview of our operating expenses and key drivers. For the year 2023, the bank records total operating expenses of 808 million, which is an increase of 23% compared with previous year. In other words, an increase of 153 million year over year. If we look at the main reasons for that, then we can put it into main buckets. One is staff cost related, and the other is related to other operating expenses. Staff costs increased by 104 million compared to the previous year, mainly because of 520 additional FTEs that we onboarded in domains like risk, compliance, and IT. Furthermore, staff costs are pressured by wage inflation based on earlier signed CO agreements, which now kick in year over year, and it is one of the persistent and crucial factors for our structural cost base going forward, where we need to find ways to compensate with cost improvements. The other reason why we had this increase of operating expenses year over year is related to other operating expenses, which increased by 48 million, mainly because of higher consultancy and IT cost for the execution of our corporate strategy, as Martin mentioned earlier. And these investments mainly in these areas of risk models, new banking regulations, and building a higher IT and resilient foundation for our IT setup. The chart in the middle shows the development of our cost-income ratio. It's a time series over the last 3 years displayed, and you see there a declining trend line, which is an improvement of our cost-income ratio. And in particular for 2023, we have recorded a strong increase of our total income while operating expenses were increasing as well, but at a lower pace, which resulted in an improvement of our cost-income ratio to 57.1% at the end of 2023 compared with the 70.3% for previous year. So in relative terms, we were able to improve our cost-income ratio. In absolute terms, our cost base was increasing by 23% year over year, which is clearly not acceptable. So going forward, we have to put more attention on structurally improving our cost base by identifying and realizing cost synergies along the value chain within the entire bank. Moving now on to page 17. This page provides an overview of impairment charges. Looking at first at the other table on the left side. So for the year 2023, we record impairment charges of 15 million. And the blue column shows the composition of these 15 million. Main driver in 2023 were residential mortgages, where we record 9 million impairment charges, which is an improvement compared to the previous year. But for 2023, we did another refinement of our underlying calculation model for provisions, mainly this area for interest-only mortgages, which resulted in this tick-up of provision. And besides that, also we have seen that existing loans in their LTV, loan-to-value buckets, increased to higher buckets because of declining house prices. And that in total required a tick-up of the 9 million. In addition to that, there's the category other corporate and government loans, where we also recorded 10 million impairment charges, which is again an improvement compared with previous year. But in 2023, there was again for a handful of loans, credit risk deterioration observed, which required a take-up of the provision and resulted in this 10 million. These charges were partially offset by impairment releases in categories for SME loans, consumer loans, and loans with other banks there. Bottom line, the bank reports total risk cost for all loans of 3 basis points, which is compared with previous years an improvement, And if you compare us with the 3 basis points for 2023 with our Dutch competitors, it is more on the lower end. And there's evidencing also the high credit quality in our underlying loan portfolio. If you move on to the bar chart in the middle, it shows the development of our mortgages in arrears. If you look at the bars itself, you see that the bars are declining over many years there, which is the successful rollout of our de-risking strategy applied. And for the first time in 2023, you see a small pickup that is because of the environment, and we have seen turbulences and geopolitics on the markets, which is pressuring some customers. So we see this also in the arrears part. It's a small pickup, but we have not changed our de-risking strategy there. Furthermore, you see the black line. The black line represents the development of the average LTV, loan to value, and also there's a declining trend. In 2023, it only ticked up because of the movement of some customers in higher LTV buckets because of declined house prices there. The pie chart on the right side is an extract of our loan loss provision and represents your mortgages with an amount of 124 million for 2023. And the pie around shows the composition of this amount. If you look at first on the right side, it shows what is calculated inside our loan loss provision model with static permanent factors, and there's an outcome of 73 million. And the left side of the pie shows temporary factors that are considered because of geopolitics, because of macroeconomic uncertainties there, which are outside the model with management overlays calculated. The most prominent one was related to inflation overlay. If you'll remember correctly, 2022, that was where the inflation in Europe was rocket high, mainly driven by energy and later food prices there. That was a moment where we incorporated there in 2022 a temporary overlay of more than 20 million because there was uncertainty whether this high inflation could pressure our customers and their ability to repay loans. We have over 2023 seen that it did not materialize and decided to allow it down to 9 million there. We still have an overlay there because we're prudent and we're closely monitor that going forward. Moving on to the next page. I'm now on page 18. This page provides an overview of our capital position and the development of our prudential ratios, looking at first at the bars on the left side. So our total capital ratio ended up with 25% per end of 2023, which is a slight decline of 50 basis points, mainly because of additional RWAs. Our CET1 ratio ended up with 20.2%, which is a decline of 10 basis points that is actually virtually stable year over year. Both capital ratios are comfortably above the regulatory minimum requirements there and represent a robust and resilient capital base. In the course of 2023, we also reviewed again our capital planning target, which was earlier at 19%, and we lowered it to 17% going forward, which gives us more headroom for additional business going forward. But of course, target means that we are not steadily going immediately there, so we just look for opportunities that could be pursued. If you continue to look at the chart in the middle, it represents the development of our risk-weighted assets. For the year 2023, we end up with 16.5 billion, which is an increase of 1.2 billion compared with previous year. That increase was mainly driven because of the implementation of an RWA multiplier, which adds additional conservatism in our risk-weighted asset calculation for mortgages in line with our prudential regulators' interactions. Furthermore, we incorporated an 83 million capital add-on for interest-only mortgages there, which with both factors together sum up to the 1.2 billion year over year. Our leverage ratio is shown in the bar chart on the right side. We record an improvement of 40 basis points year over year to 5.1%, mainly because of the strengthening of our CET1 capital and the shortening of our balance sheet. Apart from that, the governance bodies of the bank proposes a dividend distribution of 164 million, which will be presented to our shareholder in the AGM, which is expected to take place later this year. Well, this brings me actually to the end of my part. Thanks a lot for your attention. I am back to you, Matthijs.
Thank you, André. Allow me to summarize and then provide an outlook. In summary, our customers appreciate us by rewarding us with an award for the number 1, 2, 3 brands in the Netherlands. We We are pleased with the fact that we score a 9 out of 10 on the Sustainable Banking Index. But our multi-customers continue to grow, as well as our net fees and provisions, that our employee satisfaction, our core satisfaction, remains high, that our profit doubled as a result, that our capital remains strong, and that our risk costs remain very, if I may say, very low. However, if you look ahead, the likelihood that the interest will go down is high in very macroeconomic uncertain times. We will continue to invest in IT, in regulation, in data. So that means that for next year and the years hereafter, cost control and searching for efficiency around the value chain is crucial. Having said that, bringing it all together, the outlook for next year is that our profit will be lower as of 2023. This concludes our presentation, so I want to open the floor for questions. We promised to have this presentation in 25 minutes, and I think we delivered on that. We're open for questions.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. We'll take now the first question from Pierre-Jean Etienne from BNP Paribas. Your line is open now.
Good morning. Thank you for this presentation. Question concerning on the slide 19 on the outlook. You indicate that the OPEX for 2024 are predicted to be in line with 2023, which I interpret as stability. Could you give us what makes you confident that OPEX will remain stable, while you indicate that there will be still investment in IT and that there will still be a wage inflation? Thank you.
Yeah. So you referred to page with the capital ratios. I did not get the first part.
It was up to OPEX.
The outlook will be flat.
Ah, okay. No, so to the OPEX. Yes, in terms of cost developments, we have seen that we had quite an increase there of 23% year over year. And what we are trying to make is to compensate the wage inflation and there, which is a persistent factor in pressuring us. But we need to find now ways actually to really identify and realize cost synergies along the value chain that will allow to offset that going forward. Otherwise, you will see that the cost will eat up our income to a certain extent. And we all know that income is volatile because of all the interest sensitivities there. And let's not speculate how many steps downside could come, but there is a dip expected in 2024. And we have to counter this in this very moment. And we will focus at first on our run the bank part to shape us further, while we have actually in our change the bank part still investments to do, which is related to KYC risk models there and our ID basement there. I hope this answers your question.
And any reduction in consultancy cost, as you indicated them as being a reason for increasing 2023?
There's a very bad connection. Our apologies. Could you please rephrase your question?
Sorry. I'm not sure that you're projected. It means that it's not sure. It's just you anticipate some decline in operating expenses. I just try to see where you can move from a 25% inflation in OPEX in 2023 to move to 0% in 2024. I just struggle to see how you can move from the to change the trend, unless there's some exceptional costs that are that were more one-off, perhaps due to some IT or some KYC expenses. I'm not sure I fully understood your answer. It's just I struggled to see how you can slow down that sharply the inflation in OPEX.
No, we have in inflation there, but there's different part of inflation there. So if you look at the wage inflation, that is part that's related to our FTE numbers there, that is not going away also in this year. So this will step further ahead, and this is in the Netherlands also agreed in so-called CIO agreements there, where you actually grant that increase, which is then later visible in our cost base. That will definitely continue. But the counterpart that could offset that about is our investment budget. So each bank has run the bank cost and changed the bank investment budget. And parts of compensating that one is that you fluctuate your ability or capabilities of investment budget to compensate while you're actually doing structural cost improvements, which temporarily would increase your cost base, but also structurally on the mid to long term will bring this down. This is what we try to do.
Okay, thank you.
Because connection is so bad, or submit question with your calls, because this is really...
I'm sorry. Okay, that's all for me.
We'll take now the next question from Benoit Petrarque from Kepler. Your line is open now.
Yes, good morning. Just one question on the NI outlook for 24, please. So you basically expect a decline. I was wondering if you could maybe give us a bit more details on, how much decline you expect, and also looking at different sensitivities to different curves potentially. We've seen obviously the forward curve dropping quite significantly in December. So what will be kind of decent scenario for NII for 24 based on the current expected levels? And I was wondering how you expect the pass-through rate, so the deposit beta, to move in 24 on the broader market in the context of ECB cutting rates. Do you think there's also enough discipline in the market for downward adjustments? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the question. So let me try to bundle them. So it was mainly on page 14 in our presentation where the total income but also the net interest margin is going forward presented on page 15. Let me refer to that one. If you look at page 15, you see that actually our net interest margin really went up from 2022 to 2023 from 115 basis points to 180. That describes actually the what's representative for the 400 basis point increase by the ECB that we have seen. Mainly because of the liability margin, which is our deposit margin. And there's a margin to make with the ECB on their account and how much you pass through in competition with others towards your customers there. And what we now anticipate is that our NII will go down as we expect that there is a decline to observe by the central bank. It's a matter of what the market believes currently, how when it will happen and how much, but it will impact mainly our liability margin there. And then also in competition, it will depend on how much margin you will further pass through. And that will, of course, have an impact on our NII. That will bring us back to 115 basis points, net interest margin like in 2022. No, this is not what we are expecting. So we are not cycling down by 400 basis points. But I guess you're pretty much aware of what the market currently assumes. It's a bit speculation there, whether it's a 3 or 5 steps that could come. But partially of that one will be sensitivity on NII. We are not disclosing a new target. Actually, it's not part of our outlooks that we disclose at this moment. I hope this answers your question.
Yes, very useful.
Adding something, we are following a very balanced approach with respect to pricing in
deposit pricing.
Thank you for that.
There's another question on the dividend payout.
Yeah.
Yeah, please go ahead.
No,
I think
yeah,
the question was what the payout, if we have any thoughts about the payout ratio going forward.
No, it's on the, sorry, the pass-through rate, so the deposit beta on the broader market. If you think the pass-through rate will
let you... Yes, I think... Actually, we believe, and this is my personal belief based on what I'm seeing, that there's further competition coming up, and that is usually translated into a higher pass-through rate to keep deposits there and to have the liquidity available. We are in this position that we had excess liquidity. That's why you saw last year an outflow of 800, 900 million out of a deposit base of 43.6 billion actually there. So that's why we were a smart follower in terms of pricing there. But we will closely monitor that in the market, whether there are constraints going forward. But I expect it will be further translated into pressure on passing through margins there.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
We currently have no questions coming through.
Yes.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. We currently have no further questions. Well, yeah, we have one more now from Pierre-Jean Etienne from BNP Paribas. Your line is open now.
Okay, I hope my the line will be better quality now. But one question about the issuance for 2024. What do you expect to issue? Will it more cover the secure bonds? Just to know what are your expectations on that point?
Not sure whether I got some really.
But on supplements and the tracking to the issuance from covered bonds.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you see it in the you see it also in the appendix, and that we have our majority grids there. So we will of course do something on the covered markets. We are not too active in the past there, but for market making purposes, we expect something to issue also this year. I think that we have not disclosed to the full amount on this one, but it will be for us also substantial amounts that we will just place
in the coming months.
Yes, in the first half of the year is very likely for us.
Okay.
That's the answer to the question.
Yeah, thank you. And perhaps a last question, another question on AML, AFT, just to understand the trends of costs related to compliance. Are you still expected going forward increasing costs and increasing dedicated FTs to that to compliance, or do you assume that at current level your budget in terms of cost and dedicated FT for compliance is fine and there's no use to increase on that point?
For the moment, I think that we stay where we are, and we will closely observe what's further happening there and then adjust. But no need at first to move in a different direction there.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no further questions, so I will
further
hand you back
questions.
To Martin to conclude today's conference.
I want to thank you for your participation and your sharp questions. Truly appreciate it. If there are more questions in the backseat or in, please contact our investor relationships. We're more than willing to answer all your questions. Thank you very much and have a great day.